Welcome to the Outdoor Citizen Podcast. Your host today, Marty Jones, and we want to give a special thanks to Don Richmond for the music that you hear playing, and to Daniel Boyce for the bird sounds that you're hearing as well. Our guests today are Logan Helmstead and Jimmy Holder from the San Luis Valley Great Outdoors crew, the Great Outdoors Action Team crew, by the way. And we also have Patrick Ortiz to give a brief introduction. So welcome, Logan and Jimmy and Patrick. Patrick, we're going to begin with you.
Thanks, Marty. It's great to be here. First off, I kind of just want to talk about how the goats came to be. We were back in 2019, and we had began to talk about trails with the BLM and Forest Service about how we can integrate SLV Go into their trail maintenance, recreation infrastructure, just ways to, connect ourselves in as another stewardship organization and kind of complement the work going on with Volunteers for Outdoor Colorado, Southwest Conservation Corps, individual volunteers that just sign up directly with the forest. And then, like Sean Noonan with the BLM was always trying to get us more integrated into building more trails that they had already passed through all the requirements to get built. So a lot of it was just finishing trail that just needed to get built. So 2019, we went to a resource advisory council meeting with the Rio Grande National Forest. And that was the first amount of funding we got to have a 4 to 6 person crew and begin take on some deferred maintenance projects for Rio Grande National Forest specifically. And the idea was to just have a crew that can go take care of things when users reported them, when they had a priority, but all their crews were already working on something else for the season. And of course, with the knowledge that the beetle kill, I guess you could call it maybe an epidemic, was eating up a lot of their project time of just getting things open. And groups like the Boot Hill Motorcycle Club were focusing on the motorized trails, on getting those trails open. So that was really a lot of where the labor and manpower was going, just keeping corridors for grazing, for trail users, because it is a multi-use forest. But anyway, we've been going strong for 3 years. We're on our fourth season right now. Logan Helmstead and Jimmy Holder, they've been project leaders since the beginning in 2019. And they are putting things together for the crew in a way that keeps people safe, allows people to have fun, have a work-life balance. That's always something that we're dealing with because, we're all passionate about the valley and our public lands. But they've helped me embed some self-awareness and self-reflection for the entire team to kind of always continually want to be better as a team, as crews, and as individuals. They see people as people. And what I found is that the rest follows. I saw that during COVID when we were still tasked to go build more trail in Rito Seco Park. We had
and where is Rito Seco Park?
It is just northeast of San Luis. And it is in the only public land in Costilla County, in Rito Seco, part of the Costilla County Greenbelt. Some of our recent projects, they're getting hands-on experience doing some trail design. And then we were working on a campground, the Ramble Campground. It's a new private campground in North Alamosa County. More glamping, so to speak. And then Greeny Mountain is one project we got coming up. That'll also integrate a volunteer weekend with Volunteers for Outdoor Colorado on June 24th and 25th. And we most recently had a Colorado Public Lands Day event on the Pronghorn Trail system in Del Norte. We've been activating open space in communities. I guess that's the way to summarize our work. We've maintained 60 miles of trail since our existence. We've built 25 miles of trail. We've done 11 campground improvements. We've planted over 160 trees of various types, ranging from willows to dogwoods to cottonwoods. And they've also taken out 1 ton of trash from mostly BLM property. And that's kind of where we're at today. So I'll turn it back to you, Marty, and you can ask these guys some questions.
Okay, that sounds good to me. Thank you, Patrick. Appreciate it. So, Logan and Jimmy, I think the first time that I encountered the goats was, it would have been in 2019 or probably 2020. Probably 2020 out at the Riparian Park, because the goats were out there building trail and taking down fence and building new fence out at the Riparian Park. Do you guys remember that?
Yeah, very fondly. I think when we had first started in 2020, it was.
This is Logan, by the way.
Just me and Jimmy that were out there. That was all they really had. They weren't sure if we'd be able to have a full crew, but we spent all of April in 2020 out there taking fences down. It was a great time.
Well, and constructing new fence too. It is the. Maybe I shouldn't say crown jewel, but it is certainly one of the crown jewels of open space in the city of Alamosa. And so I really appreciate all the hard work that you guys have been doing out there. And Jimmy, I just recently encountered you. I didn't get to see Logan that time, but yeah. I just encountered you and some of your coworkers. What was it, 2 days or so before the Rio Trio?
Right.
Filling in potholes on the on the trail.
Yeah, we were filling in the gopher holes just so no runners ran in their foot in there or anything like that.
Yeah, no bicyclists had front wheels going down and doing a header over the top. Yeah. So what do you guys like about being goat project leaders? And also explain what it means to be a project leader rather than just a team member of the goats.
Well, it's kind of a evolving thing every year, every project, really. But me and Logan basically like to get the plan for everyone so everyone's on the same page. So a lot of times we'll go out before the project and kind of lay it out, get an idea for materials or whatever it be, because we have a very eclectic realm of what our projects are. So, that's kind of, we basically just try to get everyone on the same page from there. And then, you know, everyone, it's been quite a few people over the years have been crew members, but everyone kind of puts in their share and their two cents once the project's going. But we kind of try to lay out what the needs are and how we are going to go about taking care of the needs.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we just want to make sure, you know, when you get out on a trail, it's a very big space, and to find a place to start is really hard to do. So more or less, we are the ones that are like, okay, this is kind of where we want to start, but we let the crew kind of like help us get there and just make sure we stay on track for most of the project.
What kinds of projects are coming up? Patrick mentioned a couple, but you have some others, I think, as well. Can you go into a bit more detail, please?
Yeah, Patrick mentioned the Greeny Mountain project, which will be our big project coming up. We are currently working on our cabins out at outside Penitente area right now, finishing those. And then we have some campground projects at the Magode campground down south, redoing that whole campground area and everything. And then also Tucker Ponds going up Wolf Creek past that campground area will be some of that.
Yep. So what exactly are you doing at the Magode campground and at Tucker Ponds campground?
These campgrounds have just been around for a really long time. Old infrastructure, you know, picnic tables that have been warped or boards have cracked, old rusted out campfire rings. So we're just coming in and like replacing that infrastructure and adding to it. In recent years, they've had trouble with keeping people on roads. They're adding like boulder fences and stuff like that as well.
Does that mean you guys get to use heavy equipment every once in a while to move those boulders? Yeah. I know you guys are really strong, but those boulders can be pretty darned heavy.
Yeah, yeah. We've got a mini excavator. We have a skid steer, and we have track haulers, which is basically just a wheelbarrow with a motor on it. What else we got? Plate compactor.
Yep. That'll come in handy on our project in August, where we're doing the trail out of the Baca Wildlife Refuge to Crestone.
Oh, yeah. I've been reading about that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's one we've had on the docket since our first year, I think. We just didn't quite have the funding lined up, and now it's finally time to get that all connected. So that'd be really cool.
Yeah, that's an exciting project.
Yeah. So what are you doing at Greeny Mountain?
So we're actually, there used to be a trail that was widely used in the community up there, and it's kind of just overgrown. So it's still the BLM, like in their recreational trail corridor. It was a two track that was used a lot by hunters. So we're basically just delegating a single track trail out there on the Greeny Mountain. Should be, what is it, 8 mile loop?
Yeah, 8 mile loop with a little bit of road, a little bit of trail.
And is it for both motorized and horse and people and bicycles?
Yeah, so most of our new trail on the BLM is all single-track motorized trail to kind of hit all those recreation aspects, just so we're not, you know, building trails just for mountain bikes or just for foot traffic. So, because the motorized traffic is actually what uses it the most, I'd say.
Yeah.
Motorized trails.
Cool.
Yeah.
What backgrounds are required to be a team member of the GOATS, not the project leaders, but what are you looking for when you hire a new team member?
An open mind.
Yeah, definitely. I think over these past four seasons, including this one, like we've had a whole gamut of people interested in working for us, as far as like people just getting into college and like working for the summer, or someone who's a retired oil rig engineer. But it's just people really excited about doing the work outside and having an open mind about it.
And surely there are some physical requirements. I mean, you wouldn't take an old fart like me out there and expect me to do the same amount of work as you guys.
Well, you say that. I know. Big shout out to Rob Mayberry. He's an Alamosa citizen here, and he. 63.
Yeah.
And he's worked probably the longest out of everyone besides Jimmy and I. So
yeah,
he's out there doing a great
job. Yeah, I saw him out at the riparian park. He was he was working pretty hard. So what about your own backgrounds? Jimmy first and then Logan. Tell me a little bit about why you wanted to be involved with the GOATS.
Well, what brought me to the St. Louis Valley was just a seasonal summer job with the Forest Service, just doing motorized trail maintenance. So the trail world is definitely something that got me connected with Mick and Patrick to get on with the GOATS. And yeah, I think they just saw that I was really passionate about the infrastructure of the St. Louis Valley and their recreational trails. And doing a good job with it, something that would bring people and be good for the community. And then also just something and places for people to go that wouldn't destroy our public lands at all and be something that is sustainable for us, for us all to use for years and years and years.
And from where did you come?
Indiana originally is where I'm from, but I've been in Del Norte for 9 years now.
So plenty of time to get acclimated to the difference in altitude between between Indiana and the San Luis Valley.
Yep. Yeah. After good. 9 years, I hope I'm acclimated.
Well, I remember when we first moved here in 1989, we had come from Grand Forks, North Dakota, which was an elevation less than 1,000 feet. First couple of weeks, we slept more than we had for a long, long time. You know, 10 hours a night, man. I wake up and still I think I could sleep another hour.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, your body probably needed it.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. I think so. And Logan, what about you?
Let's see. I came to the Valley back in 2013 for school, find out about the Adam State Adventure Program, and got involved with that and just absolutely fell in love with outdoor recreation and outdoor education. And right after college, I decided that I wanted to do a season of wilderness stewardship with the Colorado Mountain Club, and did that, pretty much hiked every mile of the CDT through the Rio Grande National Forest, all sorts of other access trails in the Sangres, just got a really wide experience with like everything the Valley had to offer. And kind of what came to mind for me was like, there's a lot out here that needs a lot of help. And I just fell in love with the work, and then got connected with Patrick and Mick, and they're like, hey, like we have a crew ready to do this. And I'm like, okay, like I'm ready to jump in.
And me and Logan met each other on the goats. Like our first day, we worked our first day, and that was the first time meeting each other. I think we had seen each other around the Valley before that, but yeah, so we've developed a pretty strong relationship, I think, of working together and understand each other's strengths. And I think that we work well, you know, because we both have strengths and we both have weaknesses, and I think it works out pretty well.
So I imagine that some of these projects involve multi-day, overnight sorts of things. Is camping a part of what you do, especially if you're in a more remote area?
Yeah, I mean, we try to keep it for our crews a little bit more accessible, just because, you know, they're not always excited to be hiking way out in the backcountry, but some of us love it. And so most of the time we do like car camping at trailheads or nearby campgrounds, but I think at least once or twice a season we at least have a chance to do some backcountry work where we're hiking in, you know, 3-4 miles to camp and then going further to keep working.
Right. So I'm wondering, Logan, because I know you as a student when you were here at Adam State, and I know what your background was, I have to ask this question. When you're out overnight, whether it's car camping, probably when it's car camping more than anything else, do you bring along any percussion instruments to entertain your crew?
No, I think it's funny. Like our, I don't know, the crews that Jimmy and I like started on before the goats were like units, you know, you signed on for the season, you work together in the backcountry, live together. But the fact that our crew is more so of like a wilderness, or not wilderness, sorry, professional crew, we just kind of do our own things. And, like, that's kind of the nice part of the evening. Like, we get to be and work together all day and conversate. But at the end of the day, it's just nice to have our time.
Yeah. So for listeners who don't know Logan, he was a music major for a time and an excellent percussionist. Yeah,
thank you.
And so that's why I had to ask that question. How many team members do you usually have on a particular goat project?
Well, every year has kind of been different. We've had as many as 8. And then we right currently are sitting with 4. If we do have projects that need more hands, we'll bring more people on as that comes. But it's really just dependent on the project and the season, what our calendar looks like for the season. But that has always been, you know, as seasonal workers, as we know how that game goes of trying to retention within that, we lose people and move on to other things and all of that. So, it's kind of nice that me and Logan have stayed together this whole time, just because we know what's going on, at least, and it's not just starting from scratch every year and every project.
With some of the projects that are coming up still this summer, are there any opportunities for volunteers to join in and help with some of the projects?
Yeah, like Patrick mentioned, I think it's June 24th, the weekend of June 24th, the volunteers for Outdoor Colorado are coming out to help us out with the Greeny Mountain Project. So I think last year they brought like 30 or so people out to work on a section of Green Mountain, and this year they're hoping to get around the same, and they're trying really hard to recruit locally. So,
Yeah,
get the word out.
Well, that's important. In an earlier episode of the Outdoor Citizen, we had a guest, Katie Goodley from the from Volunteers for Outdoor Colorado, and so I think folks who have listened know how to get in touch with her and how to sign up for volunteer projects. One last thing I want to ask you guys about is the Tin Can Camp, because I've heard Mick talk about it in the past, but I don't really know much about it.
Yeah, so this was kind of the brainchild of Mick. It was his idea. He had the attention brought to him that there was some state trust land outside of Pinatinte that had been sitting vacant for a very long time. So he reached out to them. He was like, hey, we had this idea of maybe putting up some tiny cabins for rent for the community around Pinatinte to get people outside of the campground because it's full, like, all summer. So he thought it'd be a good idea, and they went with it. So then it came to the goats and was like, hey, we're going to get these cabins. We need to build them out, make them livable. So that was what the goats worked on all winter. And the idea is that once we're done with that, that'll be open to the public and people can stay out there. And then any revenue from that will go back to the goats.
Oh, very nice.
So we can have some of our own funds to work on projects that we want to work on that the forest or the BLM don't have money for, which is kind of the goal from the beginning.
Right? Yeah.
It's like, hey, there's this massive wind event that knocked down hundreds of trees in the Sangres. We need to go fix it, and we can just go and go do it and not worry about the funding and just focus on that later.
Yeah. Did you guys have construction experience before you started working on the cabins?
Very, very minimal, yeah.
Not much. We've gotten a lot over the years.
Yeah.
Well. Still, you know, Logan's better. Logan, I got to give a shout out. I'm a ski patroller in the winter, so he worked on the Tin Can Camp all winter with a couple other crew members, and I think he's gotten a lot of invaluable experience from that, and is definitely his skills have gone up a lot, and I follow his lead a lot of times with the construction part of things.
Past seasons it was like, let's build some bridges, let's build some boardwalks, and then this winter was like, let's make some cabins, build some walls. yeah, and they're fully hooked up with solar, electrical, propane, so it's gonna be awesome.
Do you have an idea of what they're going to rent for per night? And how do we arrange to rent those?
So once it goes live, it'll be on a website called Hip Camp. Their mission is more so to provide renting for folks looking to explore, you know, backcountry areas. It's not so much your Airbnb kind of style, so we're going with them just because we really like their mission and it kind of matches up with what SLV goes about. And I don't remember last time we talked, it was somewhere in the like 100-150 a night, but that could change.
And how large are these cabins? Can they accommodate more than just a couple people?
I mean, the idea is they're pretty tall. There's a loft upstairs with two full-size beds, so plenty of people could sleep in them, but the downstairs is pretty small. Ideas, you know, if you are staying out there, you probably don't want to be hanging out in the cabin. You want to be out on the trail or out climbing or going for a drive. So they're big enough, we'll say.
Yeah, so they'll accommodate four people. Mm-hmm. And is there water, or do people need to bring their own water?
There is a well a mile away, same as the one for the Pinatinte campground that we'll point to, and there'll be a sink that works off of just 5-gallon water jugs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of a main struggle with the Tin Can Camp, is there's no water access.
Yeah, but, you know, if you've got a place to rest your head out of the rain in case the weather gets a little inclement, then you can bring water. That's not that big an issue.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, do you guys have anything else that you want to share about the Great Outdoors Action Team?
Well, you know, it's been a crazy ride. You know, the fruition of from idea to reality has been something that we are constantly building on. So it seems to be different than what we planned for, but I think it's gone in a great direction. And I think we've got a good goals that we want to meet to be an asset to the St. Louis Valley. So hopefully we'll keep building on it. It'll be something that'll always be around in the valley to help our public lands and communities alike.
Yeah, definitely my hope with Tin Can Camp is once we get funds for the goats that this will be something that will stick around for a long time and we can continue to grow it and build it so that we can get all of our trails in good shape.
I was going to say, there's no lack of trail work that could be done to ensure that we have adequate access and safe access to everything.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, great. Thanks a lot, guys. We've been talking to Jimmy Holder and Logan Helmstead from the San Luis Valley Greed Outdoors Action Team. They're crew leaders. And if they want to get, if anybody in the future wants to be a member of the GOATS, should they contact you guys? Should they contact Patrick? What should they do?
I believe on the SLVGO website there is a application form that you can fill out. But Patrick's a pretty friendly guy, so you can always reach out to him and he'll usually get in touch with you.
And we're happy to offer information, tell people about it. So if anyone ever wants to stop me at the grocery store and ask what's going on with the goats, I'd be happy to share that and point them in the right direction.
Well, that's really great, Jimmy, but people may not recognize you just from your voice.
That's a good point.
And since this isn't a video, is there some contact information that you can share?
Yeah, I think the SLVGO website would probably be the best route for that.
I think so. I also have a work email, loganhj@slvgo.com, if people are interested in asking questions or providing feedback or anything, really. Like, reach out to us, let us know.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm Jimmy Holder at slvgo.com as well.
All right. Very good. Well, thanks so much, Jimmy and Logan. We really appreciate all the work that you guys do on behalf of the recreational opportunities in the San Luis Valley.
Thanks, Marty.
You're welcome. We'll be right back after this brief message. This is the Outdoor Citizen.
Climb aboard the Cumbres and Toltec Scenic Railroad. The Cumbres and Toltec operates on a 64 miles of track between Antonito, Colorado and Chama, New Mexico, taking passengers over the San Juan Mountains to the Conejos Valley. Regular daily passenger service begins June 3rd through October 21st and will run 6 days a week, Tuesday through Sunday. Book now on America's highest, longest, and most authentic steam-operated railroad. Visit our website at CumbresToltec.com.
Welcome back to the Outdoor Citizen. We're going to give you some upcoming outdoor events. Remember that the Valley Calendar is the most comprehensive listing of events from across the San Luis Valley. Be sure to check it out and stay up to date at alamosacitizen.com. It's a busy summer in the San Luis Valley. Here are the next dates to be on the lookout for. June 10th in downtown Creed. You can look forward to the 2023 Donkey Dash. The race is a tandem donkey and runner course that winds through 10 miles of Creed's historic mining district. The race starts on Main Street in Creed at 10 a.m. On Monday, June 12th, the San Luis Valley Local Foods is hosting its SLV Food Project Photo Voice exhibition at the Rio Grande Farm Park Education Center. The event runs from 6 to 7:30 p.m. Saturday, June 17th, the Great Sand Dunes has a special evening program, Exploring the Vastness of Space. The presentation is by Tobin Wehner, astronomy PhD candidate from the University of Washington, who will present on the mysteries of the universe, including dark matter, dark energy, and galaxy superclusters. The event is at 8:45 p.m. at the Great Sand Dunes Amphitheater. At the end of the month, on June 30th, Rio Grande Public Health Department is hosting a community emergency self-preparedness presentation from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. at the Del Norte Annex Building. Free emergency bags will be handed out. And always a popular event, June 16th, the weekend of June 16th and June 22nd, 2023 Alamosa Roundup begins with the Mountain States Ranch Rodeo and Demolition Derby. Then the weekend of June 22nd, the Roundup has its main events of Mutton Busting, PRCA Rodeo, and a live concert. The Roundup is held at the Alamosa Fairgrounds just south of town near the Alamosa Family Rec Center.
Hey, this is Owen with the Outdoor Report for the week of June 5th. I am hiking down Alder Creek Trail just south of South Fork, or west of South Fork, and just heading down. It's a pretty overcast day. Got my sister's dog Oswald with me. We're just heading down the trail, trying to beat the rain, but it is otherwise a beautiful morning. And man, coming into South Fork this morning, the river was flowing at a CFS I would like to know, but I am out without internet, so hopefully we'll find out what that flow was next week. Until then, this has been Owen Woods with the Outdoor Citizen Outdoor Report.
As the days get longer and warmer, we'd love to hear from you. Record an audio file on your smartphone and send it to us. We would enjoy seeing a photograph also. You can email info@alamosacitizen.com or text the audio file and photo to 720-891-6759 with your name for credit. And this could be any sort of a field correspondent report, from bicycling to running to hiking to fishing to floating in the Rio, or whatever your heart desires as you're outdoors. Bird watching, always a good thing to do as well. Now we have some conditions and measurements for you to keep you up to date on what it's looking like out there. Overall, the Colorado Division of Water Resources reports that it is seeing a decrease in stream flows on most of the rivers and streams over the past week. And certainly that is the case for the Rio Grande through Alamosa and the San Luis Valley. The State Water Resources Agency says we have probably seen our peak in stream flows for most of the systems and should see a dropping off from the peak flow. The exception could be the Conejos River system, where good snowpack remains in northern New Mexico and the Conejos County western mountain ranges. Here are the latest stream flows entering the week. On the upper Rio Grande, it just might put some sight for sore eyes water level into perspective. The gauge in Del Norte is reading 3,780 CFS, Monte Vista 1950 CFS, and Alamosa is reading a flow of 807 CFS. The USDA is reporting 0.9 inches of equivalent snow water in the upper Rio Grande. Further south, the Conejos River at Magoti is reading 1,330 CFS. The Colorado Avalanche Information Center has wrapped up its season of forecasting. Although there is still snow high up in the mountains, they want to remind any backcountry trekkers that avalanches are possible anytime you find snow on steep slopes in Colorado. Although accidents are less likely in the summer, there have been fatal avalanche accidents every month of the year. Experts and citizens will still be updating the field reports and observations page. To view these and to learn more about summer conditions and avalanche risks, go to avalanche.state.co.us. And now for some other outdoor news. Colorado Parks and Wildlife has shut down fishing at Home Lake and will keep it closed at least until June 16th. The state agency is investigating a possible release of herbicide from a crop duster and is testing the lake water as a result of the chemical exposure. CPW said the closure was recommended by the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment. Colorado Parks and Wildlife told us that it can't get into details until the investigation is complete. On the running front, race officials for the 46th annual Manassas Pioneer Days 5K have announced that online registration for this year's event is now open. The Pioneer Days 5K is regarded as Southern Colorado's largest and longest-running road race. This year, it will be held on Saturday, July 22nd, beginning at 8 a.m. The start and finish line is adjacent to Jack Dempsey Park in Manassa. To register, go to runsignup.com and search for Manassa Pioneer Days 5K. And that ends this episode of The Outdoor Citizen. Join us next time when we talk to Esteban Salazar, where we'll talk about SLV Go's health and wellness, Revitalize the Rio, and Park RX programming. Until then, thanks for listening, and have a great time in the out of doors.